Welcome to the Messianic Message. I'm Kimberly Rogers Brown.
Yeah, all right. We just thank you to be able to gather here to study your Torah. Just continue to bless us. Bless all the people that are in this room and the ones that are online. And be with us through this Pesach as we mourn for not being able to go to your land. Just continue to look after us, guide and direct our thoughts. That's just your precious son's name. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to leave the room and go get my glasses. Otherwise, I won't be able to see what I wrote. Well, that's okay. Gary, you can start with the first five verses.
Okay. These are the words which Moses spoke to Israel beyond Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain opposite the Red Sea between Paran and Tophel and Laban and Ezra and Diazah. 11 days from Horeb, by the way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea. And it happened in the 14th year, in the 11th month, on the first of the month.
40th?
Okay. Moses spoke to the sons of Israel according to all that Jehovah had commanded him concerning them. After he had smitten Sihon, the king of the Amorites, who lived in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, who lived in Ashtaroth in Adiri, beyond the Jordan, in the land of Moab, Moses began to explain this law, saying,
Yehovah, our Elohim, spoke to us in Horeb, saying, you have had enough of dwelling in this mountain. Turn and pull up stakes and enter the hill country of the Amorites and to all its neighboring places in the Arabah, in the hill country, and in the low country, and in the south, and in the shore of the sea, the land of the Canaanites and of Lebanon, to the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set before you the land. Go in and possess the land which Jehovah has sworn to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to them and to their seed after them. And I spoke to you at that time, saying, I am not able to bear you by myself. Jehovah, your Elohim, has multiplied you, and behold, today you are the stars of heaven for a multitude.
This is Aaron. Jehovah, your God, has multiplied you, and behold, today you are as they, the stars of heaven for multitude. May Jehovah, the God of your fathers, make you 1,000 times more than you are, and bless you as he has said to you. How can I be myself, bear your pressure and your burden and your strife? Give wise and understanding men and those knowing to your tribes, and I will appoint them rulers over you. And you answered me and said, the thing which you have spoken is good to do. And I told the chiefs of your tribes, wise and noted men, and made them heads over you, captains over thousands and captains over hundreds and captains over fifties and captains over tens and officers among your tribes.
And I commanded your judges at that time, saying, hear the conflicts between your brothers and judge righteously between a man and his brother and the stranger with him. You shall not respect persons in judgment. You shall hear the small as well as the great. You shall not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment is at Yahweh. And the cause that is too hard for you, bring it to me, and I will. And I commanded you at that time all the things which you should do. And when we pulled up stakes from Horeb, we went through all that great and terrible wilderness, which you saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as Yahweh Elohim commanded us. And we came to Kadesh Barnea, and I said to you, you have come to the mountains of the Amorites, which Yahweh Elohim has given unto us.
Behold, Yahweh your God has set the land before you. Go up, possess it. Even as Yahweh the God of your fathers has said to you, Do not fear, neither be troubled. And you came near to me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search out the land and bring us word again by what way we must go up and into what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me very much, and I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe. And they turned and went into the mountain and came to the valley of Eshcol and searched it out. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down to us and brought us word again and said, it is a good land which Jehovah our God gives us.
But you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of Jehovah your God. And you murmured in your tents and said, because Jehovah hates us, he has brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Where shall we go up? Our brothers have broken our hearts, saying, we have seen there a people greater and taller than we are. The cities are great and walled up to the heavens, also the sons of the giants. Then I said to you, do not dread them, nor be afraid of them.
Mm-hmm.
Jehovah your God, who goes before you, shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes.
And in the wilderness, where you have seen how Jehovah your God carried you, as a man carries his son, in all the way that you went until you came into this place. Yet, in this thing you did not believe Jehovah your God, who went into the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents in a fire by night, to show you by what way you should go, and a cloud by day. And Jehovah heard the voice of your words, and was angry and swore, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land, which I swore to give to your fathers.
Okay, Elisa, verse 36.
Okay. Except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it, and to him I will give the land that he has trodden upon, and to his sons, because he has fully followed Jehovah. Also, Jehovah was angry with me for the sake, saying, you also shall not go in there. Joshua, the son of Nun, who stands before you, he shall go in there. Make him strong, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. And your little ones, who you said would be a prey, your sons who in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in there, and I will give it to them, and they shall possess it. But you turn and pull up into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea.
And Vincent, verse 41, I'm sorry. Just finish it up, Vincent.
Okay, and you answered and said to me, we have sinned against Yahweh. We will go up and fight according to all that Yahweh our God commanded us. And when each of you had buckled on the weapons of war, you're ready to go up to the hill. But Yahweh said to me, say to them, do not go up nor fight, for I'm not among you. You will be beaten by your enemies. So I spoke to you, and you would not hear, but rebelled against the command of Yahweh, went presumptuously into the hill. And the Amorites, who lived in that mountain, came out against you and chased you as bees do, and destroyed you in fear at Jehovah. And returned and wept before Yahweh, but Yahweh would not listen to your voice, nor give in to you. So you stayed in Kadesh many days, according to the space that you were in.
All right. Thank you. Go ahead, Brandon.
Thank you. I'll ask everybody to keep your hands down. I want to just ask you a couple of questions.
Okay.
Now, Yahweh showed me this. Who's the prince and the power of the air? It's Lucifer, right? It's Passover right now. It's Pesach. We're going to get all the leaven out. Now, we know from Scripture that leaven is false doctrine. Right? Once you purge all the leaven out of your land, right, do you need to go buy more leaven? No, you don't. It's a naturally occurring process in the air. So we are all in these religious, at least you're listening to me, in all these religious contexts, this Luciferian leaven is there. We pick it up on accident.
Right.
So the stuff we've been doing that you just, I wish that these four people wouldn't have left. What we've been doing, I didn't even know, I didn't even think about, because it was Jewish and it's off-center, that we shouldn't have been doing that.
I didn't either.
So this leads me to another question. Do we? That doesn't mean I'm done. We need to still make the bread and eat it here like we did last year, or don't do that at all?
You know what? I don't know. I think it doesn't matter. And I even questioned whether we should have a meeting tomorrow, but I think we should just because we need to pray.
Okay. Now, let's, with this in mind, what we're thinking about right now, look at Ezekiel 20, where it talks about the rebels of Yaakov. If you wouldn't mind going back up to that verse, I believe it's 35. And I'll bring you into the wilderness of the people, and I'll enter into judgment with you face to face. Verse 37, I will cause you to pass into the rod and bring you to the bond of the covenant. I'll purge out among the rebels and those who sin against me, bring them out of their land, but they're not going to go my land. This is going to happen. Okay, so we now know that there are going to be people who come here to the wilderness who do not want to, for whatever it is, they don't want to get on board with what Yahweh is showing a larger group of people in unity about how to walk as the true Israel.
Right.
They will, and I've struggled with this. Most people, most Americans have this problem. Either riding the handout train and thinking everybody's going to do stuff for you, or thinking you can do it all by yourself and you don't need anybody else. Both of those are wrong. It's not a welfare state, and it's not the old Wild West where we're independent pioneers. We're working synergistically in a relationship where we're helping each other. It's both at the same time, and we're working together in the learning process. Why do I bring this up? Now, in Daniel, when we're going to be dealing with this stuff in the book of Daniel, okay, I'm looking at here at verse 33, and I'm going to get out of the ABP and go back to the King James. It talks about this very process, okay? Because they that understand among the people, who are the people? That's the people in the wilderness, shall instruct many. Yet these instructors, these people that do understand what's going on, will fall by the sword, flame, captivity, and spoil by many days. Now when they fall, they will be helped with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. So if you look at Daniel 11, there are these rebels, and I was looking at the Greek. There's two kinds of people that are being talked about in the ABP and the Greek in this passage in Ezekiel. It's the people that set themselves apart from the set apart ones who are like, well, I'm not with you guys because so that's that one attitude, right? And then the other attitude is people in the camp of rebels, like I kind of said, the welfare state. We're not getting what we want. We want this and we want that. And this is how it's going to be, right? So you have that dichotomy again. Brought in by the leaven of false doctrine from Lucifer, floating in the air. You don't have to buy false doctrine or yeast. You reach false conclusions based on false premises in your own sin nature, in our own minds, and our own biases. And we don't check stuff out. I'm guilty, because sometimes, Kimberly, I let you do the thinking for me. You know, because I'm like, I don't know. And I'll read something and go all the way to see what she has to say, right? Instead of like taking 4 hours and trying to figure it out and gnashing my teeth and breaking a tooth. That's what we're looking at. Where we have to work together, we have to pull together and not tolerate people who are long too good for you guys who we don't recognize and they're gonna splinter off. They're gonna get taken out by the whatnots that are running around out there. I'm gonna tell you that now. You know, people in the camp who wanna rebel and they wanna know what to do, and then when you tell them, they're like, I don't wanna do that, right? Whereas he's looking at both of them in Daniel, because many of these are the kind of people, they're gonna come. But it's with flattery. They're there to save their own butt. That's why. They're not there because of the truth. And they're not going to want to stomach it to have to fight through this. You know, and it's hard. We grind on each other. We do. Like, there's three or four of us in this room. We're really close. We know what we're talking about. We have butted heads so much.
We butt heads a lot.
We do.
But please, let me interrupt
you.
Because the Lord doesn't say don't have conflict. The Lord said when you have conflict, do this. And he gives instructions for how to, you know, settle the conflict. That's what we do that, just so everybody online knows.
Of course, we've had people come through, separate from us for whatever reason because of their leaven, their false doctrine from Lucifer that they picked up in the air from their own understanding. And it can happen to anyone.
Yes.
You know, and we've had people come into this group and try to change stuff. Just walk in and, I want you to change this to that, or what time are you going to do this, or on this day. And it's like, no, the word of God is clear. There's a system here that's biblical. And you just don't want to come and uproot it.
That's, I'm bringing that because even those of us who understand, I think, above and God, will fall. To try them in person to make them white even to the end of the time of the end because it is for a time appointment. So we're meant not even people like you or me, like Baba, they could get tricked by the leaven of Lucifer. They can just pick that up from somewhere. They don't evaluate that. We're going to have people who are whose names I won't name. They're going to say, I don't recognize this group as a biblical group. We're going to have people who come try to come in this group and break us up. How's that happen?
Well, that's already happened, and we've had people come in here and you know, make all kinds of trouble.
All kinds of trouble. So if you guys listening out here, I want you to hear that, put that in your pipe, and smoke it. So don't come over here, you know, thinking something, you're going to come over here, I'm going to be a teacher, and I'll let you guys know what the deal is. No. We work together. We're in this together. We're a unit. And we serve together. And we're going to argue, and we're going to fight, and we're going to work it out.
Well,
but we're not going to come over here and change what God's word has said and
let me address, not keep it. And let me address that, because we have had people here saying that the Lord sent them here to teach. And then they start teaching false doctrine. And then when I say, no, but that's false doctrine and here's why it is, and let's go study this out, then they go other places, they start gossiping about us, they you know, cause trouble, cause arguments among us, and we're not always right. People bring stuff and we're like, oh yeah, that's right, I didn't see that before. Charles is a good case in point. He brought us a point about, you know, this, what's happening with the woman and the moon under her feet. I mean, I saw that in 2010 when it happened before, and it's happening again, but I hadn't even thought about it. So we do have people that come with good stuff. So don't think that what Brandon said is don't come, but, you know, don't come to bring, you know, to say you're coming as a teacher. Because if you can't teach unless we know whether you have correct doctrine or not.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be obvious if you know what you're talking about or not. So we've had a lot of that. And we've had a lot of people that have come here who aren't teachers, but they understand the scripture. And then it's like, we're going to do what we're going to do. You guys do what you're going to do. But it's this, that is these two psychological profiles that are mentioned in Ezekiel 20. And I know what I'm talking about because I was just reading this in Greek, looking at these two different Greek words of the rebel and of those, off the pull it up for you guys, ADP and Ezekiel 20. Yeah, he's next. And I thought this was important because I'm looking at myself in this, you know, because you always got to check yourself first. I will lead you in the wilderness and litigate for you there face to face. That's not good. Litigate. And I will lead you from the peoples and take you out and pour forth. Yes. And I litigated for you. I will lead you by my rod. Choose from you the impious. Abis asbet asbet. Destitute of reverential awkwards. Yahweh, condemning Yahweh, are impious, wicked, irreverent, ungodly. So there's these impious ones. They're condemning God. They're not. They don't fear him. They probably don't care about his commandments. Remember that one guy that died here,
yeah.
David Krieger?
Yeah.
Jesus told me Yahweh did away with the Torah. And then he went to a group here and said, I'm a prophet. God told me he did away with the Torah. And that dude was dead the next day.
And that's a good example of somebody who came here saying, the Lord brought me here to teach. And here's what I taught. I'm going to teach you. The Lord told me the Torah was done away.
Yeah. The other kind of person is the epistemy. To stand off, to withdraw, to remote, to revolt, to stand aloof, to desert, to fall away, to become faithless, to flee, to shun, to keep oneself absent from, to revolt, in the sense to desert, like a military deserter or a mutiny. And we've had that. People try to instigate that, and people do that too. That's the, we got our own group. You guys know what we're talking about. You know, and they condemned us for going to the feast in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
You know? And these two kinds of people, type profiles, they're going, the book of Daniel says, they're going to keep coming. And many of those kinds of people are going to try to join us here with this kind of baggage. And I don't know what to do. I mean, you try to talk me down on this a little bit. I'm a little bit harder than you are when it comes to dealing with it. But where's the line where we say, where we put up with stuff to a degree, or where's the danger line? What are those 11 points, some are more acceptable than others? You know what I mean? Like,
that's where I'm at now. Like, what's the process of dealing with this kind of thing? Because we're going to be in a very dangerous position where we don't have room for compromise because it can kill us.
Well, Gilbert, I know you you have something that you want to say, but I'm going to address this question of Brandon's, and then, Gilbert, then you can speak. My viewpoint is that we have to let people come. We have to let them participate. We have to watch people. We have to keep watching each other. For crying out loud, I tell people, watch me. If my behavior is getting back, I got to have a meeting. Because last week, I got hard on somebody, and three men came and they separately, and they said, you were too hard on that person. I had to have a meeting with those men and that other person and say, you know, I'm sorry, I repent. We all have to be subject to each other. When new people come, we welcome them, and we see their fruits, and we see where their doctrine is. And if they will bring good insights, I've been learning some things from Sherry White, some insights that I hadn't seen before. She's new in Torah. So we do learn new things from people. But also, those same people need to, when we say, well, that's not what it means there, that they don't argue and start making a fuss about it and run off and go gossiping about us. Mm-hmm. That's our point. So anyway, Gilbert, you have the floor.
Okay. Y'all have been talking about Babylon, and what you really need to do is really read Revelation 17. I mean, everything points to Rome, the city of Rome. It's the city that sits on seven hills. It's the only nation on earth that's the last of the nations. It's the only nation on earth that's called a city, Vatican City. And it was instituted by a gangster by the name of Benito Mussolini in 1929. See, Napoleon took them away from being a government, the Vatican, and they were taken away from that until Benito Mussolini signed a concordat and made the Lateran Treaty. He signed the Lateran Treaty in 1929. When he did, all seven popes from that day to the future were alive. And in Revelation says, and there are seven kings, five have fallen. Well, the first five, Pius XI, Pius XII, John the 23rd, John Paul VI, and John Paul I, Paul VI and John Paul I, all were Italians, and they all died. And it says, and one is the Polish man, John Paul II. He went to more countries than all the Roman popes, 260 before him, put together. He is. Everybody knows him. And the other, the Hitler youth, Benedict, is from Germany. He's not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short space. He's still alive. He just wanted to. The other five are fallen. The one is. And this guy goes in short space. And the beast that was and is not even easy ace. He wasn't alive in 29. All of them, including Benedict, was 2 years old. He was born in 1927. There were seven kings. He's the ace. He's of the seven. That means he's of the College of Cardinals and goes in perdition. And the guy's pushing 90. I'm saying the time is short. I don't see any more popes. Okay. And yet there's almost 2 billion Catholics or confirmed Catholics and stuff. And they're in every country and they persuade people, especially the Jesuits. I graduated from Jesuit High. I know all about it. Okay. And the Jesuits were kicked out of every country and not allowed to operate except for 150 straight years till 1970 something. And there are only two of them. Every single European country kicked them out. Only two of them wouldn't allow them to operate schools in their country for 150 straight years, so I think 1970-something. Switzerland and Sweden. Guess which are the only two countries in Europe that were not involved in a war during those same 150 years, including World War I, World War II, Switzerland and Sweden. Look, I'm telling you, man, the mystery of iniquity that's already worked. And see, the whore in Rome has made drunk the inhabitants of the earth. When you're drunk, you don't care what time it is. You go to bar to forget. She made everybody forget the Sabbath and keep the day of the sun. Okay? And she's influencing everybody. And then meeting with Saudi Arabia, the Vatican meets with Saudi and all these other kings. And it's all gone. It's crazy. So I just don't want y'all to lose track of that. America is the only beast in Daniel that he likens to a man and has a man's heart. Because we're the baddest around. We beat Germany and Japan and then build them back up, make them number one in their areas, build them back up again. after we destroy. When a country animal beats another animal, it eats him. But we're different. We get the heart of a man. So I'm not signing off America completely as whore the Rome, you know, but I'm saying the Vatican is. And, you know, the Second Commandment, don't make any graven images. Not only was it the Romans that crucified our Savior, the Roman Catholics got nailed to the walls of every one of their buildings on earth, bar none. Bar none. Okay? And they haven't changed. Now, I came out of a family that was strong. My father was one of only two Catholic laymen at the crowning of John the 23rd in Rome in 58 when I was in third grade. You know, this is crazy stuff, but it's all coming to pass in our lifetime. So don't lose track of that. Don't sky everything to Edom and all these other places. It's in Rome. And they're gonna have their way. They do. They've got more embassies, I think, in other countries than the United States. I gotta double check that. But it's amazing. So that's how I just wanted to point that out because I didn't hear that at all today. Thank you.
Thank you. Gilbert, we respectfully disagree with your viewpoint, but thank you. Go ahead, Rick.
This goes back to the Ezekiel point. Something that caught my attention. The church in general, they think that the rapture is going to take everybody out, or those who get left behind have to face all this turmoil that's going to be happening on the earth. Well, here it kind of goes against that grain where it says that we're all going to be passed under the rod that make it over here to the wilderness. That's his people. They get raptured out, but it's going to be a weeding out process even at that point, coming into the wilderness to where those who say they follow Messiah and they don't want to get on board with his kingdom policies, which is in the Torah, they're going to be not allowed in the land. They're going to be hanging out in the wilderness or somewhere worse off than that, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I was like, that was interesting.
Anybody else?
Yaakov held up his hand 30 minutes ago.
Yaakov, did you have a comment?
There's so many, I can't remember where to start. I left all my places. Justice and mercy. Just a quick recap on that. You cannot give somebody mercy if you didn't judge him on that first. Just first of all, you have to tell somebody, you did something wrong, you're guilty. You know what? But, well, obviously God will say, no, I didn't. Yes, I did, I'm sorry. And then we need to forgive that person. But you cannot give somebody mercy if they didn't do anything. And if you just let something go because you grab in your heart and you don't like conflict and so on, that's not mercy. That's ignorance. Right. So ignorance. You're letting something go and then you tell yourself, I do it because I love them. No, you don't want to do the conflict thing. So you're ignorant of their sin. So actually, it's the opposite of love. You're not loving. I remember growing up, my dad was extremely strict. And he was always arguing and fighting with us. After a certain point, suddenly he just let everything slide. Which part of my dad was the loving part? The one that cared and was on our case the whole time? Or the one that was ignorant and just let things slide because he loved it? It's just a thought. Mm-hmm. Relationship between husbands and men where they fight a lot is normally stronger than the one where they just let everything slide.
Well, you're right, because if we believe that someone has sinned against us and we won't confront them with that, we're not giving them a chance to repent. There's no mercy in not giving someone a chance to repent. We have to give them that opportunity. But because we're like, well, I don't want to be involved in confrontation. I don't like conflict. We won't lay down our own life and say to that brother or sister, you committed this sin against me. And let them answer for it. And it may be that they didn't sin against you at all. It may be that you misunderstood something, which is it would turn out great. And if they did sin against you and they repented, you restored them to the kingdom.
And grown a little.
And you have grown a little as well.
It's complicated. You grow.
Okay. Got another point? You said you had a lot. Okay. Anybody else before we go on to the Haftarah? Huh?
Sherry signed on for listen. I just got the wrong page here.
Mm-hmm.
Sherry, you got something?
Yes, since I'm the only one thinking a comment, I just wanted to tell Brandon I promise I'm safe.
I couldn't understand what you said. I think your mouth was too close to the mic or something.
I said, since I'm the one thinking about coming, I just wanted to tell Brandon, I promise I'm safe.
I'm not that scary.
And she's not scary either.
I'm not scary.
I couldn't get hostile. I tried not to.
What he's trying to express is that we have had a lot of people come through here and cause trouble. And I've learned how to nip that trouble in the bud, and people don't like it
right. When
I nip them. But I'm the shepherd. Michael is the shepherd. We nip these things in the bud, and that's part of the shepherd's job. That's our job, is to watch over the flock. And to those who are causing trouble, you've got one sheep butting the heads of another sheep, you gotta take that one and you gotta set it aside and calm it down and hopefully, it'll bite you, and it won't butt you, which does happen. It's all, we're all in this learning process, and I don't know everything there is to know. So I make mistakes. Michael makes mistakes. Michael and I have but both of us have had to go to people in this fellowship and repent and say, we did this wrong.
I'm coming from a little bit of a different standpoint than what she's saying, but part of my position is physical security. That's what I'm working towards. And the visions and dreams as a small child Yahweh gave me, I'm in a war. I was in the army for a little bit. And that's what I know, and that's what I've seen against the Nephilim, against humans, people coming to the wilderness, causing problems in the wilderness. I can't really reiterate how most of the globe is going to die. This depopulation program from Satan's people is going to be effective. Yahweh has allowed it, and most people will perish. So I'm extremely passionate to a fault, to causing somebody physical, possible harm. Not only because of things I've been through, but because of what I know to be true, not just in the text, but what I've seen with my own waking eyes, my own sleeping eyes, if I could say it like that, about what will happen. And it's really, really bad. And we have to do our very utmost to save the baby. Well, the baby isn't sure, but the baby of civilization, this woman, gets whittled down to a remnant of the people that are going to be the core of humanity's heart. What's left. And just, I'm dogmatic about that. And that's why I'm so angry at everything, at the New World Order, about Jerusalem. I'm so pissed off that we cannot go over there. I wish we could just go over there, just say, we're going to do it right, but we can't do that. We have to wait on Yeshua. So we have to be church militants in the wilderness. And Yahweh has given us a clue ahead of time. A lot of people are going to be rebellious. And then I look at my own life, like, where am I like that? And then how is that going to play out? We're looking at other people. It's coming. So a lot of people are going to flee over here, just loony tuned out of their minds, demonized. Demons are real. Deliverance is a necessary thing in the body of Mashiach. And, that's part of getting delivered is from false doctrine also. Is, I got demons on my body from getting large tattoos because the church told me, well, because that was done away with, I could do faith-based tattoos. That took a while to get rid of this stuff, and I still have them. My whole torso is covered. Stupid things like that. And I didn't know because of false doctrine. And that's the stuff that's just floating in the air, and we have to watch our thoughts. Like, oh, this sounds like a good idea. And Yahweh's going to teach us stuff, just like Kimberly said, where we get an insight. Like, my world is rocked right now because I want to go to Jerusalem so bad. And then today, you pull the rug out from under me. We're not supposed to be doing these things the Jews are doing. And I don't know why I didn't ever think about that. I didn't give it enough thought. Now I just feel lost.
I get it.
Now what? And it's just, I'm frustrated too, because it's not going to get any better.
It's the system that we know, Brandon. We're in uncharted territory. Nobody, except for the remnant, and they didn't leave us any records that said how to do this, except Daniel. Daniel, in chapter 10, he said, I fasted all through Passover. And he didn't say it that way, but that's what it reads there in the first four verses. Nobody told us. We have to find this out from who? The Ruach. We're being trained. Go ahead, Yaakov, you had a comment.
Speaking about false doctrine, and I came into the Hebrew roots with, not long after I came in, I did Nephi Nolan's teaching on the Book of the Law, Book of the Covenant. Now, that's a very difficult subject. So I put it on the shelf, sort of avoiding it. But due to just my study I'm busy with, I am in a position where I have to teach about the book of the law. I've been avoiding it for almost 3 weeks now, and I've been battling for the last 3 days to get that false doctrine out of my system.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it's not a book of the law, a book of the covenant, because there is. But the dividing point of how it was divided within this false teaching kept a wall of understanding that I had to break through. And that's a lot of work to break through false doctrine. It creates blindness and misunderstanding. It sounds good when you hear it, but when you study the rest of Scripture and you go and look at it, it doesn't. So false doctrine is powerful, very dangerous, very confusing. And that causes a lot of butt hitting. So we should stay away from anything that you consider not Scripture. It's against the bigger picture of Scripture. It's important that we study our Bibles, ourselves.
Right. Anybody else?
Yeah, I had something about that. About the false doctrine, the problem is the same problem they had in Egypt as we have today coming out of where we ever come out of, whatever country. And that's not just the Western countries, that's including Africa or around the world. It's what we grew up with, what we knew. And so the false doctrine has been part of our lives from birth until today. And I was talking about this earlier with Hannah, that the people that we're around today in this country, they grew up with this stuff that they know. They don't know any better. And the people they encounter as we come across the Jordan River into the land, they were grown up with this false doctrine that they had. They had it right to begin with from the time of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. They had the right doctrine. But they polluted themselves, they filed themselves into where they morphed into this thing that nobody even recognized that they were part of that family to begin with. With the Hems, whatever group they were in, I can't remember anyways. So they were polluted with this false doctrine from the time they were born until the time that Israel went into the land at Jericho. Mm-hmm. The Jericho people were afraid of them. They heard about them all the way from over in Egypt as they crossed over the Red Sea and into over the Jordan. It just happened.
Mm-hmm.
No, this was took 40 years, but they heard about it. And they were terrified of them. God does put that fear in them, but none of them repented. None of them except one family.
Mm-hmm.
One family. They understood. And they put that scarlet cord on their window. And they saved their family because they were true to what they made a covenant with Joshua and said, okay, we're going to do this. And then they turned around and did that, and they were spared. The whole city, nobody else was. And he only wanted them to repent. None of them repented except for the one family.
Hmm. So we can probably carry on to Jeremiah.
Jeremiah 30.
Yes.
Verses 4 to 11. And the next person to read is Glenn and then Amanda. Glenn, well, either one of you can read all of that. It's not that long.
And these are the words that Yehovah spoke concerning Israel and concerning Yehudah. For so says Yahuwah, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask now and see whether a man is giving birth. Why do I see every man with his hands on his loins, like a woman in labor, and all faces are turned into paleness? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Yaakov's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. For it shall be in that day, says Yehovah Tzvaot, I will break his yoke from your neck and will burst your bonds. And strangers shall no longer enslave him, but they shall serve Yehovah Elohecha and David their Melech, whom I will raise up to them. And you, O my servant Yaakov, do not fear, says Yehovah. Do not be terrified, Israel. For lo, I will save you from afar, and your seed from the land of their captivity, and Yaakov shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid.
One more.
Ask now and see whether a man is giving birth. Why do I see?
Right here.
Where am I?
11.
11? Sorry. For I am with you, says Yehovah, to save you. Though I make a full end of all nations where I have scattered you, yet I will not make a full end of you, but I will correct you in measure and will not leave you entirely unpunished.
Where does that fit with Ezekiel 20? Mm-hmm.
Yes, it does.
Boy, I wow.
Is this Jacob's trouble? This is the first half or the second?
It's the second half.
It's the second half.
Yes.
Right. So just to recap on Jacob's trouble, remember Jacob was with Laban, and Laban was keep cheating him out of his pay, to say that way, inheritance, you could say, with the sheep that's supposed to be his, but Laban keep on promising it to his sons. And Jacob said, I had enough of that. So Jacob took his wives and the sheep that he knew was his, and he fled back or traveled back to his country, Israel. And then Laban sent messengers to Esau, telling them Jacob is on his way back there. And Jacob stole from him. So Esau thought, oh, okay, so Jacob is a thief. That gives me reason to go persecute him. So Jacob took his soldiers and got ready for, Esau took his soldiers and got ready for Jacob. At the same time, Laban took his soldiers and pursued Jacob. So Jacob was in between two big armies that wanted to kill him. That's Jacob's problem.
That's a good one. I hadn't thought of it that way, but that is very good. He was between two big armies.
Hmm. King of the North, King of the South, maybe?
No.
Oh, just thinking.
No. It would be, like China and Russia today, because they're in cahoots with Shiite Islam.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the King of the North, Shiite Islam. So, yeah, that's good. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Repeat. The scripture verse you just said, thought of, how is that compared to, would you say, hold on?
This last verse?
No, compared
Ezekiel 20.
Jeremiah.
Ezekiel 20.
Yeah. I just want to make sure I have the right book.
Yes.
Hey, anybody else?
When the Bible says Israel, those of you who heard my teaching in Jeremiah will understand this. Israel is always 12 tribes unless something in the text changes to 10. So in this case, Israel is 12 tribe Israel, and not 10 tribe Israel that was scattered.
Yes. All right. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 to 19. So, Amanda, you want to read 7 to 10, and then Nia, 11 to 15, and then Sarah, 16 to 19.
Start verse
7.
Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was grieved with that generation, and said, they always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways.
Nia, verse 11 to 15.
Thank you, Nia.
Yes,
ma'am. Yes. So I swore in my wrath, they will not enter into my rest. Take heed, brothers, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living Elohim. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Messiah if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation.
And Sarah, 16 to 19.
Okay, can you move it up?
Yes.
Yep.
That's it.
Okay. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. However, not all who came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with those who had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they should not enter into his rest, but to those who did not believe? So we, that they could not enter in because of unbelief.
Okay. Any comments, questions?
Yes. The 603,550 above 20 didn't count the Levites. More Levites went in besides Joshua and Caleb. The Levites won under that curse, and a lot of them made it in, including the priests. They were of age,
that made it in. I thought I'd bring that up.
Okay, thank you. Sarah?
No, there's nothing for me to unmute now.
Oh, okay.
I can't see what happened to the icon to let me unmute or to mute.
Anybody else? Well, all of these, the Haftarah and the Brit Hadashah reading fit with what I had not gotten to read the Haftarah and the Brit Hadashah yet. So for doing all that study of the wilderness, but man, that all fits with Ezekiel.
I was thinking the same thing. Kimberly,
yeah,
and how it has answered maybe some questions, some of those that are new into hearing about the wilderness. Kim had to leave. She did ask if this was recorded, and I said yes. So.
All right. Well, if there's no other comments, then we can be dismissed.
Excuse me, Kimberly?
Yes.
Okay, Mia. This is Mia. It was an excellent study. I just want to, I guess, comment or ask that while some of us are still here in, you know, Babylon, are we still being a light to those around us if we're not over there? Because I do continue to experience sharing, you know, Father brings to me these people, and a lot of them have open hearts to receive. And one in particular called me in tears crying. And I was literally at work, and I was able to share with her this path, the ancient path. And she was in the Christian church. And then she just called me like a year later, thanking me and for sharing with her about the ancient path. And she no longer attends church on Sunday. She went further up than I did. She found a congregation close to her house where she now assembles on the Sabbath. But I say that to say that, you know, I'm not there over there, but I was just, his Father still uses while we're over here?
Go ahead, Jaco.
Not everybody is called to Jordan early. God will have his people out of the nations up until he does the ingathering, what we read about. I will gather you from the four corners. I'm going to say it again. Yahweh said, I will gather you. He did not say they or them. So some people are called earlier for a specific purpose. That's why if you have to be called to Jordan to come here, because we have a specific purpose being here, and that is to prepare a way for when God ingathers out of the four corners, that they have a place to come to.
And Rick, let me just say this quickly. And if you are called and don't come, that's going to be a problem too. Go ahead, Rick.
I have two things. One thing back earlier in the Torah portion, when we got to Ezekiel 20, I recall something that was in Jasher. It was about Ephraim in Egypt said, well, they calculated everything out. And I hear a lot of people calculating this date, that date, and this is going to happen on this time. They calculated out, and they said, well, our time is come, and we need to go. Well, God never said for them to go at that point. They left, went the northern route, instead of going down the route around the Red Sea, they went to the northern route, and they got totally wiped out. I don't even think anybody made out of there alive. So Ephraim, not all the tribes of Ephraim, but some of them decided to go up there, and it was a good idea. So coming early is not always a good idea, but coming late is definitely a bad idea. The other point was to Nia. Before we got into Hebrew roots, we were in a meeting, and this guy kept talking about the Old Testament. Had he not talked about it to the point to make me ask questions, I would have taken years later trying to figure all this stuff out. But because he would persist in saying that the law was not done away with, and I got him outside one night after the meeting was over for 2 hours in a parking lot on a winter night, 2 hours asking questions about where did he get this at, why was he talking about this, is all done away with, and he gave me scripture after scripture after scripture, and I went and researched it all, and I said, oh, it hasn't been done away. So don't lose heart if you're not here now. He's using you where you're at now. And he will always use you where you're at now if you're open to him and willing to do what he says to do now.
Yeah, and people ask me about that Ephraim thing in the book of Jasher. 30,000 Ephraimites went up by way of the wilderness. And people say, well, it's because they went early. No, it's not because they went early. It's because they went the wrong way, like you said. And this is what I told somebody this week. In the Exodus, Yahweh said, I'm not going to take them up by way of the Philistines because if they see war, they'll turn back. Because that's not the direction that the Father had sent them to. When those 30,000 Ephraimites might have felt called to go, but they went the wrong direction. If they had gone out and camped out around Mount Sinai, they probably would have been okay out there. Because that's a pretty desolate area out there. Nobody lives there. Nobody lived there then. You know, and Yahweh provided for his people in that wilderness around Mount Sinai. If they had done that, if they had gone the right direction. Oh, by the way, Paul says that everything that happened to them in the first go-round is given to us as an example. And we have now not only the test questions, but we have the answers. So we now know where you go. So if the Lord calls you and you are supposed to be among those who come to prepare, because Yahweh always uses people to prepare for his coming.
Forerunners.
You know, then if he's calling you to do that, you need to, you know, take that seriously, because that's a very special calling.
And so all that charismatic talk, all that Donald Trumpism, all that Christian nationalism, all that Charisma Magazine and deals with the Pope, with Kenneth Copeland, and all this dominionism and dominion voting machines. You know, the whole world needs Jesus, and then he's going to come back. The whole world will get saved, and then he'll come back. I don't care if you're a hyper-Calvinist or, you know, you're part of your local charismatic fellowship. That's not going to happen. Well, we're going to have a great joy revival, and everybody in America's going to get saved, and America's going to repent. No, it's not. No, you're going to die. It's not going to happen. When Yahweh called his people to revival, he didn't call them in Argentina. He called them in the land of their forefathers. That with my people who are called by my name, will turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, I will hear their prayers, something else, and I will heal their land. It was here. It was these people here he was calling to revival. The Joel revival, and whatever you think that is, get it out of your head, because the Bible tells you what it is. That it happens over here, right before Yeshua comes, okay? That's where it's going to happen. This is where a bunch of people are going to get saved. So if you think you're going to experience some Brownsville, Toronto, like, we don't get down like that here, by the way, with the slaying and spirit and all this kundalini stuff and manifestations. Like, we got Holy Spirit stuff. We got people here that can see, quote, in the spirit, see the spirit realm. We got people that speak in languages. We got people that cast demons up. That's all here. We don't want to hear us talk. I bring it up because some of these people are humble and we'll talk about it. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe all of the Word of God. I'm sick and tired of listening to my own people talking about not knowing what they're talking about. That's why I'm addressing it right now. No. All of those promises. Who are the forerunners? Who are the Elijahs? All on the Elijah list. Garbage. Who's an Elijah? Who is the John the Baptist? Okay? This is what it looks like. And I don't think that's presumptuous.
Well, the forerunners are the people who do the work.
Right.
See, Judah told me that years ago. It's the people that do the work. Those are the leaders. The leaders are the people who do the work. Well, that's what we're over here.
Isn't that what happens in church? If you're the pastor and you got some guy who does all the work for you to clean the toilets, I was a toilet cleaning associate pastor deacon, right? And it was awesome, not. So that's more false doctrine I'm addressing right now, because I've heard it too much. I've seen it too much in all the churches, and that's why I'm angry, because there's millions and millions of people that have the Holy Spirit, that have gifts from Yahweh, that could be a benefit to the kingdom, and they're caught up in this bull crap all over the world, and they're more worried about getting high with the Holy Ghost instead of actually getting into the Word of God and getting over here, if you're called as a forerunner, to know what a forerunner is, to prepare the way of Yahweh. Yeshua HaMashiach, Yahuwah in the flesh. He's coming. We got thrown out because we didn't follow the Torah, and we're going to still have the same problem until he gets here. I hope I destroyed something in somebody's mind so that you can see how important it is, if Yahweh's called you a forerunner, to be where forerunners go.
Go ahead, Yaakov.
The Joel revival was quoted in the book of Acts. I'm not sure if it's chapter 2 or chapter 3. The second part of Joel that speaks about the revival, that whole second part of the chapter is directly quoted in the book of Acts. It happened. So if we're going to have a repetition of that happening, it will happen in Jerusalem again, and that will be when Yeshua is here. That's the Joel revival.
That's a good point.
There is no other Joel revival except in Jerusalem when Yeshua comes back and fulfill the whole prophecy of Joel.
Yes, because Yahweh's patterns repeat and repeat and repeat. Right. And he always repeats himself about Jerusalem.
Yes.
And if, look, I read in Beast Watch News this week, if Jerusalem, the psalmist says, if Jerusalem is not your chief joy, then, you know, may your hand forget and your tongue cleave to the roof of your mouth and all this stuff. We need to be Jerusalem-centric. Everything that we do needs to be about the kingdom. And Jerusalem is the king's capital. And our king is coming back to take back his territory.
And if you, in your heart, feel called to Jerusalem, find out what preparations you need to do before you go there. That's why we are here. We are called to Jerusalem. But we need to prepare. And that forerunning stuff that Brandon is referring to did not start yet. We are expecting it to start the moment the next step or the persecution is about to start. Kimberly quoted an email that said that they're going to start or they're looking into forcing foreigners to vaccinate.
To come into Jordan.
Yes.
They're thinking about it.
That will be the beginning of persecution for us. Now, that will be our next step where Yahweh is going to start to use us to prepare for the greater ingathering for everybody else still scattered in the nation.
Yeah. And by the way, I'm getting emails, and some of the people here in this online room have emailed me, well, you know, why then come over there if we're going to be persecuted? Because Yahweh said, come over if you are called to come and be part of the preparation process. You know, remember, he said, don't think about what you're going to say in advance. Just do what I say, go where I tell you, and I will rescue you. I will give you the words. I will take care of it. We're here knowing that he said this place is going to be safe for his people. So regardless of what they do, he's making a way.
Okay, and that's why I have Daniel 11 up there. Daniel 11:14. At the end time, the king of the south shall butt at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a tempest, with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships. And he shall enter into the countries, which countries? All the countries of the king of the south, and shall overflow and pass over. He shall also enter into the glorious land, meaning Israel. And many shall stumble, and people shall convert to whatever the king of the north is telling them. But these shall escape out of his hand. The lands of Edom and Moab will not have armies of the kings of the north everywhere. And that's the reason why persecution will be at its least in Moab and Edom.
Right. And we are at Aqaba is the far western edge of Edom at the Red Sea. So we are at that edge. Now we know because two of us in this room, folks, have had visions of the Iranians, Rick and me have had visions of the armies of Iran, the navy of Iran coming up in here into the Gulf of Aqaba. And actually, when I saw the vision, the Iranians had three battleships and all of their turrets were aimed at a lot. They were not aimed at Aqaba. But other people have seen Iranian had visions of Iranian soldiers being in Aqaba and Russian soldiers in Aqaba as well. Will we be here then? I don't think so, because that's going to be at the second half of the tribulation period, and that's when the woman is out in Petra and Basra and out in the desert being judged and prepared by Yahweh.
That's it. To add to that, I hope in part three of my Jeremiah study, I can add the rest of the scripture that goes together with this, or in the chronology, that will depend on the father, to show more about this. But Edom and Moab will be places where the king of the north will not have his, armies. So that is where the ingathering will be. We will be gathered in like the sheeps of Bozrah. Bozrah is in Edom, by the way. And everybody then, when the ingathering eventually starts, we believe it will start at the middle of the tribulation, in the second half, Jacob's trouble. And then God will call all these people from the four corners of the earth. That's when the angels will hold back the wind and everything. And that means God will hold back his judgment until his chosen people has fled to the place prepared for them. It's just a little bit lower in this chapter of Daniel.
Yes. Okay, Sherry?
Well, also to the point you said, why come over there if you're going to be persecuted? Everyone is going to be persecuted. It doesn't matter where you are on this earth. It is coming to you.
Yep.
Yeah. And some people have heard my Joni interviews that I did on Hebrew Nation Radio. And I don't know if there's somewhere in one of those interviews, or maybe it was I said to her on the phone. I read this section here. I can't remember where it was, but it said that they're going to taunt us and they're going to persecute us. And she said, yes, that is true. There is going to be some of that for Yahweh's people here. But the thing is, we have to not have the attitude of the first generation. Well, he brought us out into this desert to kill us.
Right.
No, that's not why he brings you out here. He brings you out here to save you, to show the world and you who is king and who is God of this earth.
But what if? That he's going to kill, they're the ones that say it. So it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. The people with the bad attitudes and the rebels and those who separate themselves and we're not going to listen, you want to kill us, they fulfill by their own quote-unquote free will, their choice, Yahweh knowing all things, that pattern. But those who have the heart of, no, he brought us out here to save us. Did you see the miracles? Did you see what he did, the faith? Exactly. We're going to make it, even if I die. You guys keep going, because we're going to make it. We're going to resurrect. It's what's inside of us he's testing.
That's right. Go ahead, Sherry.
I've had a couple of experiences this week. I had two of my staff members in my classroom had their second vaccinations on Wednesday, and they have both been in bed sick with fevers and body aches since. And they've also this week in Kansas passed a state law that says we can never again close school, which to me means the next state law is therefore everyone must be vaccinated.
Right.
If we are in that time, we actually don't have to bother sending our kids to school. We need to school them in Torah, the Word of God.
Absolutely.
And because this is the beginning of the persecution of the Great Tribulation. Uh-huh. Because this marks the lead to buying and selling. I mean, I don't have to be a prophet to say.
Right.
But we are there. For those who have an ear, let them listen.
Yep.
They've already said that. That's what they're going to do. But we don't believe it. You know, Hitler, before he became chancellor of Germany, came out with Mein Kampf when he was in jail. And he submitted that to Parliament in Germany. And they kind of laughed at him. They're like, okay, so what? But when he started implementing his own policies, it was in Mein Kampf. Then they realized that he wasn't joking. He was very serious. And people like that are in the United States already. It was called Obama. And he came out with a book and said exactly what he was going to do. And he's not out of the scene yet.
Nope.
He's there waiting for when whatever's going to happen with Biden and Harris steps in, you better believe Obama's going to be there somewhere.
Right.
I agree. Yep.
Yep.
I think I'm done.
I am too. All right, everybody. Well, it's been a good study. All right, Rick, would you pray us out, please?
Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for allowing us the privilege of being here together in this room and also on the internet. We ask that you would be with us this week as we remember what you said for us to do during the time of Pesach and our love and bread. And we mourn for the fact that we cannot be in Jerusalem to celebrate there with you in your land. that you're, where you constantly are looking to and fro and judging men's hearts there in your own city. We ask that you be with us this week to come and give us safety and wisdom and bring people into our path so we may tell them of your wonderful love and miracles for us. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
This has been Kimberly Rogers Brown from TheMessianicMessage.com. Thank you for listening.